epistle appointed to be read for this is taken from the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. And it is from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end, unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. But when the crowds saw it, they were struck with fear and glorified God who had given such power to men. Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, today is for us in this particular church, in this particular church only, the feast of St. Teresa, the little flower. And the reason why it is only observed in this particular church is that the little flower, together with St. Joseph, are the two patrons of this particular church. And therefore, for us, it is a major feast. It is a first-class feast, and we say the Mass of St. Teresa today. However, as is always the case, the official readings for the day, the Gospel and the Epistle readings, are taken from the regular Sunday after Pentecost, because they are instructional and we may not avoid them or interrupt them. Today I ask you, therefore, to pray particularly to St. Teresa, the little flower, and ask her to protect us, to protect our effort, to keep all those who come to us in the particular love that she has for those who love God. We are in particular need these days for the help that St. Teresa has to offer. We're all confused, we're all wondering, we're all worried, and so we have to have the help of St. Teresa in keeping our minds straight, in keeping our thoughts straight, in keeping our souls conditioned so that they are worthy, so that we are worthy of God's love, protection, and sanctification. This morning it is already time for the All Souls Day envelopes. They are available in the vestibule of the church. As you know, we'd like to have these back before the the first day of November, so that they can be placed on the altar and where they will be kept throughout the year on the altar. In the pamphlet rack in the back of the church there, in the vestibule of the church, you will find some little pamphlets that are the Medal of Cross of St. Benedict pamphlets. I suggest that you pick one of these up and take it home with you and read it very carefully. I know that many of you already have pamphlets concerning the Medal of St. Benedict. Now, I suggest that you take the pamphlets that you've got and destroy them. I'll tell you why in a minute. It's not that what we give you is correct and what everybody else gives you is incorrect. That's not the issue at all. The thing is that the pamphlets that you have got, that we have had up to now, have discarded a great portion of the information that surrounds the Medal of St. Benedict. We have known of this for quite a while, but just really one thing leads to another, and we have not done anything about it. But the original pamphlet, which was put forth in the year 1923, contains all the information concerning the Medal of St. Benedict. And the Medal of St. Benedict has on it many, many, many very great indulgences, which we hope and we feel are still available to us. And we feel also that we should all be privy to this information. This pamphlet contains that information. Also, this pamphlet contains all of the days of the year that take place, which we call, as you know, the Totius Quotius days. The Totius Quotius days are not just on November the 1st. Totius Quotius takes place many, many times during the year, during which times, if you say the prescribed prayers and whatever, which is outlined here, you will gain a plenary indulgence for saying those prayers. Why is it that this information has been withheld from us or taken away from us? And also this gives you a much broader history concerning the medal and its power. This is silly on my part to say that I don't recall from reading here. I think it's in here. I'm not absolutely certain. But at any rate, I do know it was said, historically speaking, that never has there ever been found a soldier killed in war wearing a Benedictine medal. That's pretty powerful. So my beloved people, pick one of these up and read it carefully, and I assure you that the information here is valid, and the names on the back, particularly of the abbot that gave his approval of this, I know that he was extremely orthodox and very much to the point. So please read this and become quite familiar with the Medal of St. Benedict. I'd like for everybody to have one. If you don't have one, please let me know and we will do something about having you have one. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. I ask you, of course, to pray for him, pray for our Father Francis, whose feast day it is tomorrow. Thursday is the feast of the Holy Rosary, and therefore, of the Blessed Mother, therefore we you certainly know how important that is. In today's, I ask you please, next Sunday, those who wish to go to confession, we simply have to cut off hearing confessions next Sunday at 9:30. So if you want to go to confession next Sunday, you may have to come to church a little bit earlier. And I also suggest the parents that little children not go to confession next Sunday, but rather leave confession only for grown-ups next Sunday. Next Sunday only. So, but we have to cut off at 9:30, getting ready for the ceremonies that are to take place. Also, in this week's bulletin, again, are published the names of those who have jobs to perform next week. Again, I repeat to you what I've already said, that next Sunday, what we are about next Sunday, is not for the pretty of it. Though we know, and you know, that it will be pretty, and it will be lovely, and we will all be quite edified by it. But the thing is, we're not doing it for that reason. We're doing it, of course, well, really, I should correct that statement. We are doing it for that reason, but the primary reason is penance, prayer, mortification. That's the purpose of the whole affair. I've said, and I repeat it always and always for emphasis, we are not here to prove, to argue, to debate, or to point out, or to make clear anything. It's not that we are afraid to prove, or debate, or to point out, or to make clear anything. We come here for one reason, and one reason only, and that is prayer. If there's any converting to be done, as far as we're concerned, it can only be done by God. If prayer and debate and argument and pointing out is the system to be used, then may I ask a question? Then why is it that over the past 35 years, confusion has become worse confounded? As I think it's in this week's bulletin in some place, the condition in our church has never been so bad as it was since the 4th century. Why has this taken place? Why is this taking place? And what is our purpose? Has all of this talking and talking and writing and publishing and talking and writing and publishing to the point of ad nauseam, why hasn't it stopped it? Why hasn't it made things clearer? It hasn't. All it's done is made things worse. So, my beloved people, let's put those things aside and know that the only reason that we come here is prayer. That's all. If others feel capable of preaching and teaching whatever, then they must go elsewhere to do that. They will not do it here. And we are very insistent upon that. very insistent upon it. Today is the feast of St. Teresa. Here's an example for us. In her life, do we not see in her a beautiful person, withdrawn, set apart, and given to prayer? And we know the kind of prayer that she was given to. And in the quiet of where she was, in the quiet of where she lived, look at the immense power, classified actually last century, I guess we can include it in this century certainly, the greatest saint of modern times, the power that came forth from prayer. My beloved people, one Hail Mary, well said, has got more power than anything that anybody can say. All right, one good Hail Mary. And look how much easier it is and how much more power we've got within our reach by simply resorting to prayer. I encourage you to come to this conclusion. And next Sunday, when we see the Blessed Mother presented to us, let us give her prayer. If we want the protection of Mary, the Mother of Jesus Christ, then we have got to give her the homage that is due her. When you see her next Sunday, you make certain, my beloved people, you make certain that she hears you, that she hears us. And that we bring her forth out of the doors of our church to the outside, as she will see us. We don't go marching down the streets. Today, it seems we've got to get on down the streets to be seen. That's just noise. The only thing that we can give today that will be effective is prayer, private, pure, simple, undefiled, and in full adoration of Almighty God. That's where our power is. The Blessed Mother is the last one to look to today. I don't think anybody will doubt that the hand of God is spelling out the words of the divine wrath of God these days. What with storm, volcanoes, war, earthquake, crazy weather, everything that we are witnessing today, why can't we read what is taking place. God is talking to us, and we must listen. God is telling us what He wants, but we do not give it. So let us, my beloved people, do what we know best to do, is to place ourselves in His guidance, in His love, in His adoration. That's what we are here for, and only that. May God bless you. During these days, remaining between now and next Sunday, I ask for your particular prayer. A particular prayer not just for us here, but a particular prayer that Almighty God and His Blessed Mother will look after us and protect us and keep us from the dangers that surround us from all directions. That's all. This is where our power is. We can do it. It is in our hands. I ask for your special prayers during these next few days, because I will confess this much to you, that the closer we get to next Sunday, the closer we get to next Sunday, the more apparent is the displeasure being shown of the Unholy One. The devil does not want next Sunday. And he's going to have to do it over the strength and the power of every one of us. And that is that. Period. My beloved people.